Welcome back, everybody, to Listener's Guide, a series from Big Secret Records. You're listening to How Pueblo by Berkeley was made. If you're not aware yet, you need to stop now and go back and learn from previous episodes that I am Berkeley, and I'm talking to you with some friends of mine about how all of these songs were made. Today we're talking about High School Tears with Kelly Palmblad, aka Volon Vauban, and Mike Vunovich of Pueblo fame. I'm just going to say it. He's famous. He's infamous. We're talking about classic adolescent concerns like learning about art school, losing close friends, and forming your first band. You'll even hear some bad recordings of the first band that I was in, as well as my struggle to get to where High School Tears ended up. It was a pretty crazy journey to get from one entirely different song all through these different iterations of a song that I wanted to call heavy metal, I wanted to call High School Tears. You'll hear some writing sessions with Jasper and Bob, who are both in the Berkeley touring band. So crack open those yearbooks and a new jar of Stride X pads, because we're going back to high school. I was complaining about this to my parents yesterday because they were like, oh, you never wanted to even go to college. You know, they were reminiscing, and it was like they were talking about how I didn't want to go to college, and that my guidance counselor in high school is really proud because she got me to go to like the state school in Pueblo. And I was like,
oh my God, we have such a similar upbringing.
And I was like, I've only learned in the last maybe 5 years of my life, and I'm 37, right? I've only learned very recently about art schools that I would have fucking gone nuts for. I didn't even know that they were real.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine a world that would be like, that would be cool if this existed. Like, that's how far away it was. I not only did not know that they were real, I didn't know that you could imagine a thing like that could be real.
Yeah.
And no one fucking turned me on to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing that I resent about growing up in Pueblo, is that like, I feel so behind, like, creatively and artistically, just because, like, I didn't know that that shit was real.
Yeah.
And, like, that guidance counselor is, like, she's patting herself on the back. Oh, good, I got him to go to school. And it was, like, you could have done a way more killer job had you been, like, well, you're obviously a musician. You don't want to go to school because you just want to be a musician and tour. Check out these other schools. And I would have been, like, yeah, fuck that. I'm going to go to New York, or I'm going to go to LA. And it was, like, fucking just thinking so small. And like,
yeah,
I mean, it all ended up working out. I probably wouldn't change a thing. Like, everything works out the way that it's supposed to, I think. But like, you couldn't have told me about this? Like, that would have blown my mind. Even just knowing that it was an option would have made me feel better.
Yeah,
because I felt like a fucking freak. I'm driving around at night right now in Pueblo, and that's where High School Tears came from, was doing this exact thing. And I thought, I want to go find my old friend's house who kind of got me started on writing music and thinking about music in a certain way. He kind of introduced me to punk, and or got me deeper into punk music, and it changed the trajectory of my life having this friend. And I was like, well, I'm going to go find where he used to live, and I couldn't find it. I knew generally like where the house was, and I kind of remembered what the street name was where he lived, and I just couldn't locate his house, and it was driving me crazy because it's like, man, that used to mean so much to me, and now I can't remember where he lives. So that's how that song started, and it kind of ended up being this companion piece to Fiesta Day, where, you know, Fiesta Day is about the same guy, and in our teenage years, High School Tears is about thinking about him now, almost like coming to the realization that led to Fiesta Day. That's what High School Tears is about. And also realizing that I think I felt closer to him than he felt to me. And that kind of explains why I acted the way I did when I was younger. I felt like betrayed, and it was like, well, because he's got bigger fish to fry. And I understand that now, and I respect it. And I often want to reach out to him and see how he's doing or what he's doing. I think I've figured out where he lives, and I know that would be more for me, you know. I don't think he's waiting for me, or, and honestly, I don't know if he's thinking about me, but coming to that conclusion that maybe he's not thinking of me at all, I found some solace in thinking that if he ever was thinking of me, I would also be thinking of him at the same time.
Remember Pennies for Change, that band?
Yes, they were a rival band. Yes. The first band that I was in, because we shared Trevor. Yeah, and that's right, you were with that whole crew, the like South Side, what's that part of town by that Dairy Queen off of like the Boulevard,
Regency,
yeah,
or Sunset Park.
All the Regency.
I was in Regency. Trevor was Sunset Park.
Yeah, Trevor was the shared drummer between us and Pennies for Change, and yeah, the Aragons fucking hated it because we weren't of their kind.
Yeah, that sounds 100% right.
Yeah, but then years later, I played in a different band with Trevor, and we played our first show here at Phil's Radiator. This is the site for a lot of...
This is where it all happened.
Yeah, and this is where you would go to see shows, too. Like, even if I wasn't playing, I would be here to see shows or, like, pick up friends or just come here because I knew that something was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stayed late enough, there was probably a drive-by shooting. I remember there were three times that I narrowly missed a drive-by shooting. And then it would be closed for, like, 2 weeks and then open back up.
Yep, like nothing happened.
Yeah, or like... Usually there was an underage drinking bust close for 2 weeks.
Yes, this was a hot underage drinking spot.
Yeah.
This was a good BYOB spot, too. You could bring in whatever, and they really didn't enforce any kind of...
Yeah, it's a punk place for sure. I don't know who owned it. I never really thought to ask that or, like, give a shit, because I was just like, where are we going to play? Okay, we're going to go to Phil's. And it never felt like it would get old, you know. Like we never felt
like we'd get old. Yeah, we were true. Invincible.
Yeah,
that's why top of the world.
Fucking everyone is getting shit faced at Phil's.
Mm-hmm.
Or would show up shit faced. Throughout all of these drafts and demos and whatever they are, you're going to hear a lot of the themes that went into High School Tears and Fiesta Day. A lot of the lyrics straight from the bridge of High School Tears, which is kind of like where that all stemmed from. And it became evident that this needed to be two songs, even though they're about the same guy.
Also, but if you're, are you doing like a vocal melody, you think, on that?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to try different stuff and then I can see what guitar part comes around your vocal melody?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like, no, I wish I had a looper pedal.
You can hear my exhaustion and frustration with how I can't quite crack whatever this song's supposed to be. And I'm here with the very patient Jasper Johnson, who plays guitar in the Berklee Touring Band. I'm not sure how I got from where I started to here to where you'll hear that we end up, but sometimes a song just kind of opens itself up to you after you spend a lot of time with it, whether you're watering it like a plant or just kind of hanging out with it and getting to know it like a friend.
Since you were 12, got a chance and were trash to her in her own home. I was a trashy boy who was into the devil. A dream girl pushed me away, ran home before. Those old high school tears don't mean nothing now.
Those high school tears, yeah, don't do you no good, do you no good. These high school tears.
What it was, what the project was, but at some point you had asked me to come over and make some music with you for it. I forget what it was, but I brought my stuff to your house over there on Berkeley, and that was the first time that we ever really hung out. It was just you and me trying to write something or other in your room. I can't remember what it was.
That was, maybe it felt like the peak because, like, we were all involved, and then we, like, got out of it, you know, for what, like, we moved on to other things. But it felt to me like that, like, if I could be so bold as to say, like, we were involved in, like, the peak of the Pueblo music scene.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't know really what came after. I know there was, like, a couple ska bands that I saw. Like, I followed it, like, after I had moved, you know, who was still playing around. And there were a couple, like, young ska bands. There was one, like, thrash metal band that sounded pretty cool. I wish I could remember their name, but I've not seen any more about them. I think, like, the death of Phil's, even in, like, this last incarnation, kind of, that was the death knell for a lot of local music.
Yeah.
Not that it's not here. Like, it's still around, but
it's not like it was.
No, yeah, they were a lot of bands, and there was a show going on one or two every weekend.
Yeah, there would just be people wandering the streets, just packed.
Yeah, I'm sure the conservative adults didn't like it because it was a bunch of kids in black and long hair and smoking cloves,
playing Dungeons and Dragons, worshiping Satan.
It was that kind of a scene.
Skateboards,
a lot of fucking skateboards.
I just think it'd be cool, like, I know I'm selling out, it's like a big deal and everything. Is that recording?
Sure.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, right now? It's alright. But, alright, listen. Like, I know selling out's, like, awful, and it's, like, the only thing to do because you're, like, on rock and all that shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude, like,
I want a bigger.
Like, I was just, honestly, I'd actually consider doing it, like, majorly, because, like, just playing in front of a crowd is, like, 150,000.
Yeah. I would do it just, like, we play arenas.
Like 150,000 people
playing this. Yeah, because, like, we just saw tours in arenas.
Talking out of our asses. That was from a practice session at my parents' house in our garage with myself, the guy who High School Tears and Fiesta Day is about, and you hear me mention him a bit in this episode and I think in some other episodes, the drummer. His name's Trevor, and Trevor was a very, very talented drummer. He was very young and very sought after, and that's what created the biggest conflict between the band that we all formed and the band that Mike was talking about. When that band was kind of messing around in Trevor's basement, my parents' garage, I was 15, my friend was 15, Trevor was 13, so our parents were being very supportive and driving us around to all these practices for shows that were never ever gonna materialize. We did play two high school talent shows. We played the Central High School Talent Show when I think I could drive. I think I was 16, so it was like my sophomore year of high school. And then we played the bassist's talent show. I definitely drove to that, so I was for sure 16. The bassist for that band was Previn, who I've mentioned before in previous episodes. He was in Runs Faster Scared. It's a super incestuous music scene in Pueblo. But it was hoot and holler, and I had a great time. Many fond memories that I still hang on to, obviously. I wrote a whole record about them. Subscribe to the podcast to learn about the rest of Pueblo, track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to learn more about what's next from the label. And I'm going to leave you with an instrumental track. We didn't do vocals because when I started to record the vocals on my own, we were overdubbing on a 4-track cassette to begin with. The band made fun of me. They didn't like my voice. So we went back and recorded on a digital workstation that I had gotten and recorded this song that you're going to hear. It was like our big hit. We played it at those two talent shows and it went over well. I don't think anything exists with me singing on it. I was too self-conscious because everyone laughed at me as soon as I started recording. This is called Safety Pins by my first band called Everything Else. Thank you for listening. And by the way, for the real Pueblo heads who have known me since middle school, Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit follows me on Instagram. Thank you.